Blog Talk Radio.
They had this scroll of different events on the cable station, and behind that,
It was a radio, and I had a radio program. Didn't get paid for it, but it was the best job that I ever had. And I think it was so good because sometimes people would call in, and some people would call to be on the radio, but some people would call just to talk to me. And I had the show from it was from like from 10 to like 12. And it was just amazing the kind of conversation that you had. So, again, I know that what we're doing is a good thing, and we don't know who we're touching, but we're touching a lot of people. And I know that only because I can feel it. I can feel a change, you know, within myself and also those that I meet just on a day-to-day basis, you know.
Awesome, awesome. And I just want to remind people that in addition to being a radio show host for myself, also being a trainer, also an adjunct professor at the college, have very similar occupations with an S, also professor, also a trainer, publisher, playwright, movie producer, editor. You know, he does so many things, but I do a workshop. One of the workshops that I'm doing tonight is called Becoming a Paid Trainer. These are individuals who actually want to get into the field of training, need to lead groups, need to facilitate groups, and want to learn some of the steps and processes that it takes to be a great trainer, and then how to position yourself to actually be a paid trainer, how to get positioned for that. So that workshop is going on tonight. If people want to know more about it, they can contact me on Facebook, and I'll be glad to share. So I just wanted to get that in. That is tonight from 6 to 8 p.m.
Let me throw something else in there, in that pot there, because the thing, you as well as I do, I mean, we do paid speaking engagements. And one of the things I think we should look at is there is a book. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I just want to throw it out to our audience. It's a book called Paid to Speak, Best Practices for Building a Successful Speaking Business. And this is published by the National Speakers Association, which can be contacted at www.nsafspeaker.org. That's the National Speakers Association, www.nsafspeaker.org. And you can go to find more information about public speaking. And just one last thing before we get to the program. 2013, and you can write this down, I'm doing a Christian screenwriters, we're going to do a film festival. We're going to do a Christian film festival right here in the Roy Arts District on October 2013. And so, you know, in this program, we're going to have a lot of people come in who are screenwriters, following in the footsteps of people like Tyler Perry and definitely T.D. Jakes, realizing that, you know, Hollywood hasn't discovered the power of a righteous living. And they're going to discover that very, very soon because, again, there's a lot of films coming out very soon based on Christian themes, and I think the whole life is to live the best life, and you can't live the best life without God. So, October 2013, it's going to be entitled Churches Making Movies. And so I'll talk some more about that, but just to throw it out to you, let people know that, you know, there's always something going on, and really an idea of communication. We move from radio to TV, and now to movies and beyond.
Awesome, awesome. Wow, right, wow. Well, you know, I have been had taped several segments of my TV show, The LaLisa Show, which will be coming back around. We did some taping last year, and we ran into, you know, a couple of pit stops, I would say.
Yes,
and so we've been in the pits, and we've gotten some adjustments, and so we'll be coming back with that, and we'll let people know about the dates for that, but that's going to be our television show, and so we're really, really excited. But there are some wonderful things coming up, and I do want to say, you know, welcome to all of our guests. Thanks for you for tuning in each and every Tuesday, and for those of you who are able to catch us on other days of the week as well. We want to start broadcasting the show each and every morning at 7 a.m. to be that voice of motivation, that voice of inspiration for individuals who are, you know, going off to work, starting their day, or even those coming home from work. If you're coming home from work, you can catch us, you can drive in, put us on your iPad or your iPod, and tune into the show or call us on your phone. The phone number 347-945-7991. And you can also listen as you're driving home from work, or even if you're driving into work. So we really appreciate you, and we look forward to some more things to do with our listener. We want to try to get a list of things that we can have as giveaways for the show for people when they call in, and, you know, to some even greater level of excitement to tuning into the broadcast. So with that being said, I'm going to let you take it away, Terry, with our awesome topic for today. I'm excited and ready to get going.
Okay, I'm as excited as well. And again, I just want to start by saying that this book that we're going to talk about today is so very important for many, many different reasons. I told you before when we started this program, you and I on the radio together, I was telling you that I felt that you know, I wasn't reaching my full maturity. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and feeling that, you know, I don't know, it's more for me to do, it's more for me to be, but I didn't really have much direction. And you know, I told you I got back into my spirituality. I again, you know, accepted, you know, Christ in my life, and made some really serious changes in terms of what I was doing, and I found that for myself that it was not only important, but it was also life-saving and life-changing. And so, like many a convert, you know, you're so excited, you can't wait to tell the world. But the sad thing that I found out as I looked at my life in a very serious sense, I realized that although I had been to school and had gotten several degrees, I still wasn't being educated in the way that I needed to be educated, so I had to go to school on myself. And it's just so sad because in the book here that I'm getting ready to introduce here, on page 161, it says here that most people only use a small fraction of their ability and really strive to reach their full potential. There's no tension to grow in their lives, but little desire to stretch. Sadly, a third of high school graduates never read another book for the rest of their lives. And 42% of college graduates simply never read a book after college. And publisher Dave Gordy claims that only 32% of the U.S. population has ever been in a bookstore. And John Maxwell says, I don't know if people are aware of the gap between where they are and where they could be, but relatively few seem to be reading books to try to close the gap. And that's key, what Maxwell said. He says here, few people are reading books to try to close the gap between their potential and to the reality. And a book that I'm going to discuss today, and again, you know, this is a masterwork. It's a classic. I put this book on the shelf right next to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and As a Man Thinks by James Allen, The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And the name of this great book, this masterpiece, is called The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. That's the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John C. Maxwell. And this book is really important because Mr. Maxwell, Professor Maxwell, Pastor Maxwell, and he says himself that he is blessed to write this book because really, at age 51, he suffered a heart attack. And at 65, he's presenting this book here, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And so it goes to show that really we don't have as much time as we think that we have. And if John C. Maxwell had passed at 51, we would have never have had this particular book. So really I think that people have to understand that life is to be lived each and every day. And the book's entitled The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, but it's subtitled Live Them and Reach Your Potential. So it's not enough to read these books that we present to you through the Book by Book Success Project. it's also important you to live the lessons from this book. And I've read these books, I've lived the lessons, and I've grown in many, many ways because I realized that aging, we have no choice about that. You will get older if the longer you live. But growth, okay, growth is optional, okay? You don't have to grow. You can live to be a ripe old age and not really grow as a person in terms of your mental, physical, and spiritual makeup. But if you make that choice, if you make that choice, you will live a better life. And John Maxwell, his book starts with the law of intentionality, and it ends with the law of contribution. And in between, there's just some gems. But the law of intentionality tells us, it says here, growth doesn't just happen. And this is really the essence of that. And he says here, to discover your purpose, you need to grow in self-awareness. Okay? To become a better human being, you need to grow in character. To advance in your career, you need to grow in your skills. To be the better spouse or person, you need to grow in relationships. To reach your financial goals, you need to grow in your knowledge about money. To enrich your soul, you need to grow spiritually. And so again, the law of intentionality is to grow on purpose, not to think that just because you're a certain age that you will know a certain thing. It's just not that the way it is. And in this book, Bruce Springsteen is quoted, and he's 63. And Bruce Springsteen, the great rock and roller, he says that a time comes when you need to stop waiting for the man you want to become and start becoming the man you want to be. And I say that again, from Bruce Springsteen, age 63, a time comes when you need to stop waiting for the man you want to become and start being the man you want to be. And again, I say, be the man you want to be. For men as well as women, we have to grow by intention. And the Book by Book Success Project is part of my intention to grow. But if you listen to the program, and if you read the books, and if you live the life that is taught about in these books, you can grow as well. And so that first law of growth is the law of intentionality. And the final one is the law of contribution. John C. Maxwell says, if you want to make your life burn brightly for others and future generations, keep growing, okay? Keep growing. Now, that's the key. Keep growing. And it has to be done by intention. And I'm going to bring you back, and Lisa, I just want to give you just one more thing because I think this is one of the laws that I really, when I read it, I read it once and I had to stop and I had to read it again because it spoke to me in such a profound way that it really, really, I had a epiphany. You know, as Oprah likes to say, I had an aha moment. And an aha I had is that, you know, we are here for a reason. And John Maxwell, he says that the law of the rubber band is that growth stops when you lose the tension between where you are and where you could be. And he goes on to say that. He says, one of my favorite quotes, which I collected as a teenager, says, God's gift to us, potential, our gift to God, developing it. So we have an obligation to do the things that we know we need to do because most people won't do it. Most people are content to be average. And Edmund Gundit, in the book here, is quoted. It says to the average, it says here, being average is to take up space for no purpose, to take the trip through life but never pay the fare, to return no investment for God's investment in you. Being average is to pass one's life away with time rather than to pass one's time away with life. It's to kill time rather than to work it to death. And so, again, you know, we have this tension with us because we're stretching the rubber band. We're stretching it to be as far as it can. And, again, I think what we have to understand is that there is a difference between existing and living. And John Maxwell says here, and I quote, he says here, when you stop stretching, I believe we stop really living. We may keep on breathing. Our vital signs may be working, but we are dead on the inside and dead to our other possibilities. And he goes on to say here, and this is a man speaking at age 65, he says here, I'm getting older. I will not always be able to perform at my peak level, but I intend to keep on reading asking questions, talking to interesting people, working hard, and exposing myself to new experiences until I die. Too many people are dead but just haven't made it official. And that's why in my own personal journey, I mean, I have been born again in a way that has added years to my life. You know, it's so funny. I read many publications where they said that if men want to live a long life, to marry a good woman. Because she will look out for you. She will help you. She will be your partner. But again, you have to understand that, you know, it's all about growth. It's all about stretching that rubber band. And John Maxwell goes on to say, he says here, the law of the rubber band, and talks about a person who lived this. He says that this person, he understood that growth stops when you lose the tension between where you are and where you could be. For most people, as life goes by, they lose the tension that prompts growth, especially if they experience any success. But having less tension makes people less productive, and it undermines the growth toward their potential. Remarkably, when it comes to hitting, and he talks about his baseball player, Ted Williams, never lost that tension. Long after he retired from baseball, he still talked about hitting with anyone who cared about it. He was continually learning and continually sharing what he learned. We should all strive to be more like him. So again, Lisa, it's about lifelong learning, and it's about lifelong sharing. Because in the final analysis, I really believe that's what we're here to do, to live our lives, to invest in ourselves through these books and good conversations and good people and good times, and to share that with other people. Let them know that life does not end at 60 or 62 or 65 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100. As long as we're here, as long as we keep on growing, we can live a life that is not only pleasing to God, but even pleasing to God, but even more pleasing to our fellow brothers and sisters. And I believe that we're all brothers and sisters on this little small planet here. And so again, what we're doing, Lisa, I think, is we're contributing to the good of the whole, to the good of all. And so again, we need to continue learning, continue sharing, continue stretching, and continue growing.
Well, this is a great book, and I'm so glad that this is one that we're discussing by John C. Maxwell, The 15 Laws of Growth. And, of course, we can't do all 15 here on the show today, so we've started today, and then next Tuesday we'll talk about some more of the laws. But, you know, I'm glad that you started with that, the law of intentionally. You know, being on intention, living on intention, having that, you know, purpose and going after it, becoming, like you said, don't just wait to become something. You know, becoming it. Don't wait for things to change. Make a change. I love that. And, you know, these books, I don't know how you did it, but I guess you didn't really do it. God did it.
He did it. He directed me.
Because these right down my alley. When it comes to the work that I'm involved in, these books are right on point. And so I can't wait to discuss some of the other laws that, you know, we love John C. Maxwell. We know he's a very positive person. We are blessed that he got this book out before, you know, he left this earth. It's a very, very important book, because growth, as he indicated and as you stated, that, you know, there's so many people who are simply existing, just not growing. And it's just like being dead, really.
It is. You
can grow in age. You may even grow in stature. But if you're not growing emotionally, if you're not growing mentally, if you're not growing your personal self, then, you know, really, what is really going on? We'd have to ask the question. So here's a book that is going to teach people. Here are some different ways that, now some people might say, well, I don't need to read motivational books, or I don't need to.
Wow.
Because I talk to people, you know, I write those. Those are the kind of books I write.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when I go to places and I'm there and I'm trying to convince people to purchase the book so that they can grow, I mean, if there was a time, Terry, I actually felt guilty.
Why?
Like I'm trying to sell somebody a used car. No, I'm trying to sell you growth.
And you know, I think what happens, Lisa, is I don't think they see enough people who are growing. So a lot of times we limit ourselves to the things that we've done before.
Gotcha.
And the people that we know, we don't expand. We don't get on a plane and go someplace else in this world to find
Good
out
point.
How other people live.
Perfect point. I tell you, that was worth $1 million right there, what you just said, because now it's my job to show them people that have grown. No wonder the guy wrote that book, From Nobodies to Somebodies.
See that?
I think you're right, because I distinctly remember talking to a woman, and she was giving me all of these reasons why she doesn't believe her life is going to get any better.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, is she for real? But you know what? She's I didn't realize what I needed to be doing at that time was actually giving her examples of the people who did go from nothing to something, whether it be, you know, Oprah Winfrey or Yala Van, or whether it be Michelle Obama for that matter. So that's the thank you for that, Terry, because I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what are these? Why are these people rejecting growth? And I mean, at such a low investment of like $15 to $20 for a book. But now I see, because they don't really believe it can happen, because they don't have enough examples of that it can happen for them. So,
And I think the thing with you and I, and like I said, I was talking to my wife about this, and I was saying that, you know, we seem to get together and we really seem to click on this radio program, but I predict, Lisa, that you and I will be on TV together as well, because I know that it's so funny when you talk about John Maxwell and Wayne Dyer, Jack Canfield, and all these people. They're just waiting for us to interview them and to share them with other people, because I do believe that I am directed. I'm being directed in a very, very special way, because these books are coming into my my life, coming into my consciousness, or books that, I mean, I walk into a bookstore and I don't even know what I'm there for. I know I'm going to find something that's going to help me. And the thing with John Maxwell, especially this book, of all the books he's written, as I read the book, I read and he's quoting people from books that I've already read. And that just shows me that, you know what, great minds think alike. And we got to stop being modest, and we got to stop saying that, you know, what we're doing is just a small radio show or a small magazine or a small newsletter. No, no, what you're doing is you're impacting on lives that will go far beyond what we're doing. I said I'm doing a Christian film festival in October 2013. Now, that seems like a long time, but in the meantime, I will meet filmmakers. I will meet producers, directors, and et cetera. And so by the time we get here to October 2013, guess what? I will be an authority on Christian screenwriters, okay? Because I'm going to school on this. You know, nobody's giving me a PhD. Nobody's giving me any degrees with this. But what I'm getting, what I'm doing is I'm stretching. And so by the time that I get to 2013, I will be another person. I will be a different person. I mean, just from meeting you, doing this program, Lisa, I have changed. I am not the same person I was just a few months ago. And if I can do that at age 62, don't tell me that at 20, 30, and 40, and 50 that you can't grow. No, you know, it's our obligation, you know. If we want to thank God in any way, just thank him by growing. Just thank him by stretching to our potential. Just thank him by developing the talents that he's given us. Okay, he's given us talents, and he doesn't want us to bury them. He wants the ones to hide them. He wants us to share this with the world. And don't, and again, I've developed a spirit of fearlessness, because I mean I can go up to John C. Maxwell and speak to him one on one. I can go to Wayne Dyer and speak to him one on one. I can go to Les Brown or Dennis Kimbrough or any of these people who I love, who I admire, who are my mentors, and talk to them one on one and have something to share of value with them. Because, you know, one of the things that we do with this book by book project is teach people how to be critical thinkers, okay? Don't just take it because I said it or Lisa said it. Find out for yourself. That's why, you know, we encourage people to read the Bible. Because every church that you go to, if it's a Christian church, is Bible-based. So whatever the minister is saying, don't believe him. Read it in the Bible, because all he is doing is speaking from the Bible. That's his trampoline. He's coming off of that. You know, so don't buy it from me. You know, read it for yourself, because it's there. So, you know, we are growing, and every Tuesday we show this. You know, so again, I it makes me laugh when people tell me that they can't find jobs. You make a job. You can make a job if you sit down to think about your talents and abilities, and we all have talents and abilities. We all do.
That's right. That's right. Well, I tell you, this growing thing, I got it. Got it, and you know what? I'm like, okay, boy, I just imagine if I could have read this book when I was in the ninth grade.
Oh, please, please. These books, would you imagine?
We got to get these books in the hands of the ninth graders. There's no curse words.
Oh,
there's nobody having sex in bed.
Right,
nobody making love on your kitchen table, parents. Parents, some of our kids. Well, that's what some of our kids are reading. And if they listen to the Nicki Minaj's and the others of...
It's crazy. But, you know, Lisa, what I see, you know, again, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I think you and I need to sit down, because I think that, you know, there's 15 laws. As a matter of fact, I see that as a 15-week course.
I do, too.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know
what? I was just saying that. I was like, we need to do one a week. This is going to take 15 weeks here.
Yeah.
One is like good enough. And here's the thing. I'm telling you, we got to get to these ninth graders.
Oh, okay.
Because that's at the level that they're going to begin to start seeking other things to hold their attention. If schoolwork won't do it, if what the parents, you know, so many children, because, you know, I work in the halfway house.
Yes, of course.
I work where I see the students on the other side, and over and over and over and over, I'm seeing a commonality between the fact that they were around ninth, tenth grade, sometimes eighth,
where they
began to lose it, and I'm also seeing that they, you know, went this other way toward not going to school, what they're told to do, not obeying their parents. Drifting away from obeying anything in the school, whether it be the principal or the teachers or whatever. I really am feeling very strongly about trying to reach that group, and I think that, you know, we may not be able to give them a long lecture, but I give them a book to read, hold them accountable for reading it. I really think we can see some huge dents to this, not only the students dropping out of school, because if anybody was listening to the debates with what was promised by the current administration about educating Americans, not just the ninth and tenth graders, but educating Americans so that we can go to college and compete globally in things like math and science and engineering and what have you.
Yes.
We're going to have to reach these ninth graders, because they're the ones in the next 3 to 4 years that'll be going off to college.
But you know what's interesting, Lisa, to hear you talking? I mean, and we definitely, you and I will actually spearhead this initiative. But what I see, you know, these kids need to have skills. And I, you know, again, I had a vision right now. I could see some of these ninth graders actually producing the Terry and Lelisha talk show, being behind the scenes, doing production, you know, because I think what happens, you have to understand that most of the big money is made behind the scenes. I went to see Tyler Perry's new movie, which is a departure from him, and got a lot of bad reviews, but I didn't go to see because of that. I wanted to see it because I wanted to see who was behind it and see who had money in the production, see who the director was, see who the producer was, because that's where the money is, and that's how people make jobs. Because when you do a movie, you hire many, many people. After each movie I watch, I sit there and I watch the rolling credits to see who did this, who did that, even down to who did the food services, you know? So I'm saying we need to put our young people to work and doing practical things, because if you learn how to produce an Oprah Winfrey show, or you learn how to produce a Steve Harvey show, you learn how to produce a Terry and Elisa show, that is skills that you can take to the marketplace. One of the things, the book by Book Success Project, is encouraging people to build their libraries, okay? To build your libraries. We gave you at least maybe so far like 10 books. Start your library with those 10 books and build that library, because I think that these kids don't have enough to really engage their minds, because they listen to this crazy music by people who are acting as if they had no sense, you know? And they're saying things that make no sense at all, and they're introducing the lowest common denominator, which is this sex that has no feeling, no emotion, and no commitment. So, again, I think you and I have to come in and really shock these young people into the reality that if you don't do something now, you won't have a future later on.
Yep. Well, we can talk about this all day because we're passionate about it. Passionate about something, it never dies. But we have about 10 seconds left for the broadcast, because, you know, they'll just kick us off of this beautiful, wonderful station here.
But I'm laughing, because you know what? I just made more work for us, and I'm sorry for that.
No, and guess what? And it's literally in writing. It's literally in writing, because, you know, we've spoken it on the air here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And recorded. But here's the thing.
Yes.
Because when it comes to being passionate, I'm all for it. But here's what somebody said this, that I want to be busy. No, somebody said, if you're not busy doing what you want to do, what you don't want to do will inherently take over.
No doubt about it.
I can't remember if it was Jim Rowan. I heard Les Brown quoting it, so I'm not sure Brown the phrase. But I believe it. So I'm glad you got something for us to do that I'm passionate about, and that is helping people to become better, to grow, to live up to their fullest potential. And all I can keep thinking is how when I was in that ninth grade and I was getting high, skipping school, on the verge of just beginning to go the really, 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 really wrong path of destruction, there was a math teacher. He was my algebra teacher. And I remember him saying to me, or he put it on one of my papers, where I had gotten a C. And I believe I had gotten a couple of D's and F's, but I had gotten a C. And I remember him writing on the paper, he wrote, "You have potential."
Wow.
I'll never forget that. And I remember thinking, I didn't know what it meant, but I remember also not going to investigate what it meant.
Wow.
I believe that if I had went and investigated that word, went home, asked my mom about it, asked my stepfather about it, asked some other people that were smart and intelligent that I thought, like my older sister, if I had went, and that's that critical thinking, if I had said, why did he say this? I wonder what it means. And or even if I had asked him. I didn't realize what that word meant. That was ninth grade. I couldn't have been no more than 14, 15.
Wow.
Find out what it meant until I was in my 20s and had already dropped out of school and was in the military. Mm-hmm. That's when I learned what potential meant. So what I'm saying is that to now be doing a work that involves helping people reach their highest potential,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because now I know what the word means. I know there's a low potential, a mid-potential, and a very high potential.
That's right.
So we want to help people. So anyway, I just wanted to drill that in. But thank you so much, Terry, for selecting this awesome, awesome book.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the ninth grade thing, because we need to do that, and we will, because it's so necessary, you know.
I think it's critical right now in all of what else we know. So we'll talk about that. For you out there, thank you for tuning in with us another week. Thank you for listening to the Book by Book Success Project, and you are becoming a success every single day. Keep doing it. Terry, I'll see you back here Tuesday with another law.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.